The Alabama Secretary of State sent a letter to the Democratic Party this week warning that President Biden could be excluded from its ballot because the Democratic National Convention occurs after the filing deadline. Wow! There go Biden's chances of winning Alabama.
Ah, yes, they hold a great many of our states in utter disdain, and they're happy to let you know. They call themselves, what do they call themselves, Michael? Liberals. But we know that they're not. That's not what they are at all. Not even close. Well, happy Friday to you. And a very merry welcome. The Democrats have filled our bucket once again with their violence, their mental illnesses, which are legend, which are myriad. What do we have for them today, Michael? Oh, we've got all kinds of crazy. We do have updates on O.J. Simpson. It turns out, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I learned this in the Los Angeles Times. It was Donald Trump that murdered Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman that day. Quite tragic, really, but later Trump was put in jail for stealing a bunch of O.J. Simpson paraphernalia from a hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. He did jail time, and then Trump was released from jail. I read this in the Los Angeles Times. Wasn't O.J. Simpson at all. Finally, vindication for O.J. Simpson. It was Donald Trump that committed those brutal, savage murders, butchering Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman all those years ago. It's amazing he got away with it for this long, but the L.A. Times has him. Trump, that's right, Trump was in jail and then he was released. I've got the Los Angeles Times story. They later went back and changed it, the Los Angeles Times did. It's a remarkable story. It certainly is. O.J., O.J., O.J. So lots of O.J. Stuff coming because a lot of people said a lot of things about it. Since then, in the White House, they had Cringe. You know, Cringe, Raggedy Ann. She was at the podium yesterday and said some crazy stuff. And they wished their best to the O.J. Simpson family. They left out the victims of the crime because they love the crime. They love the criminal. They love murderers. It's the police they hate. Oh, speaking of which, a number of NYPD officers once again assaulted violently by illegal aliens, a mob of illegal aliens, who are staying free at a hotel. Well, it's not free. It's just that we're paying for it. It's free for them. It's not free for us, you know, the taxpayers. But this gang of illegal aliens and the police were called to the hotel where we're putting them up. We're very generous people. I assume they get the free buffet breakfast every day because wouldn't be fair to not give the illegal alien gang members with tattoos on their faces free breakfast and all that. And so we got that. The police were called because of a violent illegal alien man. And when the police went to arrest the illegal alien man, he's saying over and over again, "They're not going to take me. They're not going to. You won't get me alive, copper." He's like, it was very James Cagney, but in Espanol. So it sounds a little different, but still the same thing. And then a gang of illegal aliens jumped in and were assaulting the police and obstructing the police because and that's how the Democrats know that they're going to be Democrat Party voters. Because they see that they're illegal aliens, they're criminals, they attack the police, they steal stuff, they expect free stuff from the taxpayers. Clearly, Democrats in the making. And the Democrat Party knows that. That's why we're going to need mass deportations. Start catapulting them out like it's a Monty Python movie. Just chim boom, splashing into the Gulf of Mexico. Chim boom, psh, by the millions. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think everybody will enjoy it. Well, maybe not everybody. But a lot of us will enjoy it. That'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, so in Yonkers, New York, it's Yonkers. They still call it Yonkers, too. You know, you'd think that over time they'd take a look at that and say, Yonkers? Yonkers? And they'd find a new name, but they haven't. It's still Yonkers, New York. And that's where the illegal aliens are being put up. Generosity. American people. We're very giving. In a nice hotel and where they're being so rowdy that the police are called on them, then they assault the police, and then gangs of illegals jump in and assault the police because Democrats. Oh, and then there's the Afghan national. That is, he's not like a shawl, but from the nation of Afghanistan, which is a beep hole country, just by the way. And this illegal alien terror watch list let go by Joe Biden into the country after being caught illegally coming into the country. Send him to court because our federal law enforcement people grabbed the illegal alien on the terror watch list from Afghanistan. And then you turn him over to a Democrat, and the Democrat judge, you know, the processing everybody into the country so they can murder your children. The Democrat judge, Biden, in effect, waves the illegal alien from Afghanistan on the terror watch list into the United States of America because they figure, what could go wrong? What is he, O.J. Simpson? Come on. What's the deal? Crazy man, crazy. Cornel West is having an anxiety attack, wondering whether his candidacy might help Donald Trump. It will. So keep on running, Cornel West. And he's got this, like, communist lunatic as his running mate now. But pay no attention to that. We'll get into that as well. Remarkable stuff. Also, what is the number we have now? How many illegal alien Chinese illegal aliens? How many of those Chinese illegal aliens have come into the country under Joe Biden? And it's not an easy thing, but apparently the Customs and Border Protection now say that since the beginning of fiscal year 2023, which is about a year and a half ago, we've had 46,000, nay, more than 46,000 illegal aliens enter the country through our southern border just from communist China. That's two military divisions of overwhelmingly Chinese men. And then they brought some women along, but I don't want to tell you why they brought them along. That's another thing altogether. 46,000 communist Chinese. What's the problem with that? Also, speaking of anti-Semite Democrats, an amazing story out of, well, not amazing, but appalling. You know, often appalled, but rarely shocked. You know, the old saying, shocked and appalled. It's difficult to be shocked by the behavior of the Democrat Party anymore. But it's entirely appropriate to be appalled. And UC Berkeley Dean, the Dean of the University of California at Berkeley Law School, who is a Jewish man with his Jewish wife, invited some students over to their place for, you know, some light snacks, probably halal friendly, and a little casual conversation. And it turns out they invited a bunch of jihadis who were crazed, hijab-wearing anti-Semites who were screaming, going crazy about how great Palestine is. And one of them, who's like in her 20s, claims that her home was stolen from her by the dirty Jews. And so, you know, this obviously left-wing, liberal, radical Democrat, UC Berkeley Law School dean. Did I mention that he's a lefty and a liberal? He invites these anti-Semites, or it's the mainstream of the Democrat Party, and it leads to disruption at UC Berkeley Law Dean's home. Poses questions about free speech. That's not really what it raises questions about, but, you know, you can always expect the news media to get everything wrong. So we've got that, and I've got some audio for you from that anti-Semitic event at UC Berkeley, which, if that's not the home of liberalism and the Democrat Party, then nothing is. So we got that Jewish UC Berkeley dean confronts pro-Palestinian activists at his home. Well, actually, that's the LA Times headline. That's the opposite of the truth. He invited these jihadis, these bloodthirsty ghouls, these devil-worshipping anti-Semites to his home because he's an open-minded liberal. And then they, you see, confronted him. But the Los Angeles Times headline gets it exactly backward, precisely backward. No, they confronted him. He didn't confront them. And the headline shows that they don't know what their job is. They don't know what they're doing. But they did have Jawed Kalim write the story. Jawed, you think he's your local neighborhood pot dealer. Jawed. But no, Jawed Kalim wrote the story for the Los Angeles Times. And in his version of events, it was the Jewish dean that confronted the students in his own home, see, after they went crazy, you know, jihad crazy. But pay no attention, because facts really don't matter with them. Also, we're standing by for Iran to attack Israel this time and to do it themselves rather than by proxy, as they are in the habit of doing, and as we witness every day from Yemen to Gaza to Lebanon and beyond. But and then we got Syria, and we got they're Iran. They're the most blood-drenched regime on the planet right now. And then you have, well, not in terms of raw numbers. I guess that's the Russia-Ukraine war in terms of raw numbers. And the news media doesn't cover the Ukraine war. Have you noticed that? Name a war correspondent who's covering the Ukraine war. Name an event in the Ukraine war in the recent past. How many casualties? I talk about it every now and then, but it's not even in the Washington Post anymore. We just throw billions and billions and billions of dollars at it. Pay no attention to that. We just want to keep the war going for the military-industrial complex because Joe Biden is the president of war. Of course, Obama bombed 8 countries while he was president, the greatest number of countries that any president has bombed since World War II. But that's not important now, is it? Sure it is. It's very important. So we got that. I got to tell you, some of the news media stuff on OJ is just great. The CNN had a funny person on talking about the OJ death yesterday, and it was kind of funny. Also in Seattle, because of Democrats in Seattle, there is a dance squad of teenage girls, and they showed up for a dance competition, a dance event, and the team of girls, dance team, they showed up with American flags on poles, and they're wearing outfits. Half the girls, their top. Can I call it a top? I would call it a shirt, because I'm a man. But I think women call them tops. And their tops, half the girls have red and white striped tops. And the other half of the girls have tops with a blue field and white stars. You see, it's an American flag theme that the teenage girls are wearing for the dance competition. But the headline is Seattle Dance Squad says they were told American flag shirts made audience members feel, quote, triggered and unsafe. Triggered and unsafe because the American flag was in evidence. And when they said that, helicopter gunships were brought in and the field was hosed down with 20-millimeter cannon fire. And tragically, all of the complainers died. It was very sad. Very sad indeed. Just remarkable. But I'll update you on that. That didn't really happen, the last part. But I'll update you on that anyway. Also, Catherine Herridge and Cheryl Atkinson testifying on Capitol Hill yesterday as to how awful our news media is. And they would know because they've been paying attention. They're news reporters and everything. Remarkable things we have today. Donald Trump still being assailed by his political enemies by way of what we call lawfare now. This is a new term relatively that has been introduced to the lexicon in the last 5 years or so. The Democrat Party, the left, as happens all over the corrupt world, didn't used to happen in the United States, but now it does. They use the law as a form of warfare against you, and so we call it lawfare. See, it's a portmanteau. We're combining like law and warfare, and it's a lawfare. And they continue to assail Donald Trump and even Alan Dershowitz, who self-describes as a, a Democrat. He's an long-time Democrat, and he can't believe what he's saying. Oh, and he's talking about OJ, too, because he was on the OJ team. He was on the OJ team. And Jonathan Turley on the lawfare being waged against President Trump. Just a few of the things we have to scratch the surface of the crazy that the Democrats have given us today. And, Iran threatening to, we're braced for an attack, 24 or 48 hours, 72 hours, Iran attacking Israel, doing it with funds given to them by Joe Biden and the Democrats, attacking our ally and the defender of Western civilization, the defender of civilization itself, Benjamin Netanyahu and Israel. The Democrat Party is against him, and they have saddled up with Hamas, a genocidal death cult. If you're a Democrat and you're Jewish, you need mental help. You need to talk to someone. You can talk to me. You can just listen to me. It might be better that way. Yes, sir. And Germany, their permanent reliance on Russia for energy, just as President Trump warned them about. But we've got that today as well. We are at 888-630-9625. Hey, it's Chris Plant, excited to tell you about our July 2024 Listener Sea Cruise. We'll be sailing around the British Isles, visiting Scotland and Ireland. Please join us. Visit chrisplantcruise.com.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Okay, so as always, way too much stuff for one simple three-hour radio show. But we'll see what we can get to. And we'll leave some of the other stuff to other people on the radio that will, you know, handle it very capably, I'm sure. Right now, let's go to the telephones. Again, 888-630-9625. Let's go to Matt, calling from St. Louis, Missouri. Matthew, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris. Happy Friday and glove doesn't fit topia. And so I think now that OJ's dead, the pro-Hamas protests should be able to end. Hopefully they'll end, because for months they've been chanting, kill the juice, kill the juice. And now that he's gone, you know, hopefully they can go home and get over it. So wanted to throw in one other thing. Last Friday, you were talking about St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones and holding gas station owners and convenience store owners accountable for crime at their locations. And they are implementing the plan. When everyone's forced on the electric vehicles, there won't be any gas stations left. So, you know, another problem solved by Democrats.
They are problem solvers, aren't they? And I, you know, chanting on campuses, college campuses from Harvard and MIT, on down George Washington University, kill the juice, kill the juice. I'm not sure. I might have been looking at different rallies, but Matt, I think they were yelling, kill the Jews, kill the Jews, not kill the juice. Because, you know, why would they dislike O.J. Simpson? He murdered those people, and they love murder, don't they?
Yes, they do. Well, so I guess as Emily Latella would say, never mind.
No, it was another Emily Latella moment. That is, that's good stuff. Kill the juice. No, it wasn't the juice. The juice. It was the Jews. Crazy. And yeah, UC Berkeley. Where do you hear this stuff from UC Berkeley at the dean of the law school's home? A Jewish man with his Jewish wife made the mistake of inviting Democrats over. And it turned into like the, you know, Bergen-Belsen barbecue. It was completely crazy because the Democrats are doing everything they can to destroy America as we know it, the fundamental transformation of America. And yeah, the mayor of St. Louis, I did talk about her last week, where if you get robbed, it's your fault. She is a Democrat who says she's going to hold people accountable for being robbed. Not going to hold the robbers accountable, the gun-toting criminal thugs, the soon-to-be murderers who will be gunned down by the police, and then they'll blame the police, like in Chicago. A Democrat young man shot a police officer, fired 11 shots, injured one police officer. Turns out it's the fault of the police. I'm running out of music. O.J. Simpson, the one-time football great, who became known as a murderer, a slasher, who essentially decapitated his ex-wife, Nicole Brown, a.k.a. Nicole Brown Simpson. But then she slashed that last name in half, just became Nicole Brown again. In fact, at the White House, did you see it, the Biden White House, they've declared today to be O.J. Simpson Day. It's National O.J. Simpson Day today, and they've ordered that the flags across America be slashed to half staff, be slashed to half staff, just halfway down. If you've got an American flag wherever you are, the Biden administration would like you to honor the murderer of Nicole Brown Simpson, Knee Brown. I always like that knee thing, Knee Brown. And yeah, slash the flags to half staff. They talked about it at the White House yesterday, but not really, only a little bit. Now, The View, they've got that TV show. It's part of ABC News. ABC News pays Joyless Behar and Whoopi Goldberg, the ironically named Whoopi Goldberg. got Joy and Bay and Sunshine. They got all those happy people over there. I know, Sunny, Joy, and Whoopi, and they're three of the most miserable people on earth. They should be called misery, unhappiness, and more unhappiness. They're not happy people. But The View immediately compares O.J. Simpson to Donald Trump because, you know, they're Democrats, and that's what the Democrats do. They're not well at all. And I've got a lot of stuff for you on this because it's crazy. In the Los Angeles Times, this is a really remarkable one, is the Los Angeles Times yesterday with their headline when they learned their story. It's not quite their headline. When they put out their story, the obit, if you will, on O.J. Simpson. And they made a little mistake. It was just a little mishap. They didn't mean to make it, but The View was all about O.J. Times, and the L.A. Times, Los Angeles Times, used to be a newspaper of some repute, accidentally uses the name Trump in place of Simpson near the end of their obituary on O.J. Simpson. And how did Trump's name make its way into this story? Well, the Los Angeles Times story is talking about O.J., and then he murdered his wife, and he was found not guilty in the criminal court, but then he was found guilty in the civil court, and he was ordered to pay $33 million, which he didn't pay, because why would he? But the Los Angeles Times wrote their obituary for O.J. Simpson. Long before the city woke up on a fall morning in 2017, Trump walked out of Lovelock Correctional Center outside Reno, a free man for the first time in 9 years. He didn't go far, moving into 5,000-square-foot home in Vegas with a Bentley in the driveway. See the bitterness and the resentment about the 5,000 square feet and a Bentley in the driveway. But wait a minute. You just said in O.J. Simpson's obituary that long before the city woke up in a fall morning in 2017, Trump walked out of Lovelock Correctional Center outside Reno, Nevada. That's where O.J. Simpson had been sent to prison because he went to a hotel with another guy and they had a gun and they stole a bunch of O.J. Simpson paraphernalia, which didn't seem like a good idea at the time. And in retrospect, it still didn't seem like a good idea. But the Trump derangement syndrome, as it is commonly known, is just beyond the ken. It's insane. These people are in the midst of a mental health crisis. Someone should call for help at the Los Angeles Times. They've got a writer that wrote this. Then they presumably have an editor that reviewed the O.J. Simpson obituary and didn't notice that Trump walked out of Lovelock Correctional Center. That's a prison. That's a jail outside of Reno, Nevada, of all places, a free man for the first time in 9 years. So Donald Trump did 9 years for a crime that he didn't commit. And the Los Angeles Times is there to report on it because they're insane. And their hatred is something they can't control. The headline, O.J. Simpson, whose murder trial riveted and divided the world, dies at 76. And, of course, O.J. Simpson, whose rise and fall from American football hero to murder defendant to prison inmate, fueled a rancorous public drama that obsessed the nation and spawned debates over race, justice, and retribution. Yeah, wait till you hear the woman on CNN, because she summed it up pretty well for the lefties. Turns out that not convicting O.J. Simpson was done deliberately by black jurors because white people who are rich murder people all the time and get away with it. That's what their position is. They're sticking to it. Very, very low IQ people, very ignorant people, people that don't follow the news, haven't followed the news in their lifetimes, don't know anything about history, don't know anything about our system of justice. But they're paranoid, wretched, racist, anti-American. What do we call those people, Michael? Ah, yes, Democrats. We call them Democrats. It's quite sad what's happened to the Democrat Party, but that is what has happened to the Democrat Party. And in the story, They accidentally said Trump was released from prison when they meant O.J. Simpson. And now if you go online to their online version of the story, it's as though it never happened. They erased it. Well, actually, technically, that's not 100% fair, because they did post a note saying, for the record, at 2:39 p.m. yesterday, an earlier version of this obituary used the wrong name when describing Simpson leaving Lovelock Correctional Center. The error has been corrected. That's it. They don't say, oops, we accidentally said it was the Republican nominee for the presidency of the United States, the presumed nominee. They just said, we had a little error, a little oops, a little goof. We accidentally said Donald Trump went to prison in Reno, Nevada for 9 years and was released in 2017. When we were talking about the wife-murdering mad slasher O.J. Simpson, and we have corrected that. Now it doesn't say Trump anymore, but they don't say we accidentally said Donald Trump was a mad slasher who went to prison, because our news media, just amazing. Now let's go to some audio. Soundbite number one, numero uno, as Democrats might say. A reporter at the White House with the Associated Press, Darlene Superville. Darlene Superville. Sounds like she should be a cartoon superhero. Darlene. Darlene the hero. Darlene Superville asked Corinne on Pierre about O.J. Simpson. And, hey, what about Joe Biden? Any reaction to O.J. Simpson dying from the president of the United States since he was a Democrat?
Was there any reaction from the president to O.J. Simpson's death? Do you know if they ever crossed paths? If so, how, when?
So I'll say this. Our thoughts are with his families during this difficult time.
Obviously, not
with
prayers.
His family and loved ones. And I'll say this. I know that they have asked for some privacy, and so we're going to respect that. I'll just leave it there.
Just going to leave it there. I mean, her favorite line, I'm just going to leave it there, or some variation of that. Our thoughts are with the family, not thoughts and prayers, because they don't want to be accused of being complete hypocrites, you know, which they are, of course. But never mind that. So just thoughts, no prayers, and that's it. And privacy, they're going to respect the privacy of the O.J. Simpson family, or at least what's left of the O.J. Simpson family. You know, the obituary said that at the time of his death, he was surrounded by his children and grandchildren, but not the mother of his children or the grandmother of his grandchildren, because he cut her head off with a big knife one night in Los Angeles. Pay no attention to that. So the thoughts are with the family. And nothing about the family of Nicole Brown, who was murdered by O.J. Simpson, or Ron Goldman, who was murdered by O.J. Simpson, because why would you bring that up? Our thoughts are with the family of O.J. Simpson at the sad occasion of his passing. Isn't that amazing? Yes, it is. Also, National Panhandler Radio, they put out a headline. Their headline was, breaking news, the football great Orenthal James Simpson, comma, known as O.J., comma, has died. The headline was originally longer. They had to slash it. I know, you got to keep slashing things, because O.J. Simpson, not really known for the Naked Gun movies in the end. It's for that brutal murder and the Bruno Mali shoes, the ugly-ass shoes that he'd never wear, except here he is on the sidelines of football game after football game wearing those ugly-ass Bruno Mali shoes. And the, what were they, $500, $600 gloves that his wife bought him at a very fancy, expensive department store in New York City that he was wearing in Los Angeles that had the slash in the finger right where there was a cut in his hand, nothing to see there. And the blood in the hotel room in Chicago, and being late for his limousine driver. And Cato Kaelin, who was on television last night, Cato Kaelin. Did you see Cato Kaelin? He looks good. He doesn't look like a drug-addicted alcoholic living in somebody's driveway. He looks pretty darn good, I got to say. Good for Cato Kaelin. He was always a little bit funny. And the poor guy, he was just, you know, mooching a free place to stay off of O.J. Simpson, finds himself in a courtroom under oath being Cato Kaelin. I got to tell you, if you're too young to remember all of this, I feel sorry for you, because this was one of the it was one of the most amazing news stories in the history of the world. It was truly incredible. Man, I'm telling you. All right, now let's get to more stuff because because the news media and their friends. Oh, let's go to CNN. They had Stephanie Elam, E-L-A-M. Stephanie Elam was on. She is a woman of color, W-O-C. She appeared to be African-American. I'd say not entirely, but partially. It's enough to be a victim. So she was invited on CNN to make some outrageous claims like this one. And this is, see, the reason O.J. was let go by the jury in the murder trial is because white guys who are rich murder women and men all the time, their ex-wives, and decapitate them with big knives and have DNA all over the place, and the evidence is just irrefutable. And then they get away with it because they're white. And that's why O.J. was not convicted by the overwhelmingly majority black jury.
And it's also worth noting, because of that unrest, that racial unrest in the 90s, that is why so many people who may not have been invested in O.J. Simpson were just happy to see that someone who was rich and famous and black could get away with what other people did in the system as well, too.
That's right, because white people get away with murdering people all the time because the system is so racist. See, it's that, historical racism, fundamental racism. What's the institutional racism? All the racism that's everywhere, even though it isn't. They're the biggest racists in the conversation, but pay no attention to that. This morning, CNN had a woman on named Ashley Allison. She sounds very white, doesn't she? Sounds like, no, she's not very white. And sounds very white, though. Ashley Allison sounds like she should go to a girls' private school. She's a Harvard organizer. Of course she is. She's Ashley Allison. And a Biden transition team member. She also worked in the Obama White House. So she's very old. And she said that, it's kind of amazing, but CNN, this is, if you watch CNN, this is the news. You get this woman, Stephanie Elam, that you just listened to. The reason the jury let him off is because white people murder their wives and waiters all the time and get away with it because you're a racist. Everybody's a racist. She's not a racist. Everybody else is. It's remarkable. And here's Ashley Allison from Harvard, Biden transition team, Obama White House, this morning on CNN.
It's not like O.J. Simpson was the leader of the civil rights movement of his era. You know, he wasn't a social justice leader, but he represented something for the black community in that moment, in that trial, particularly because there were two white people who had been killed. And the history around how black people have been persecuted during slavery, there were just so many layers.
Slavery. It was revenge for slavery that O.J. murdered two white people. They were white, therefore it's different. And let's not forget about slavery, which was a Democrat institution, and she's obviously a Democrat working for Obama and Biden and going to Harvard. And I'll bet a dollar she's a virulent anti-Semite, too. She might lie about that, but then she'll chant from the river to the sea while eating shawarmas. I do like shawarmas, though. Those are delicious. Yeah, black people like O.J., you see, killed two white people, and slavery. So let's not forget about that, because that's the Democrat Party's worldview. The Democrat Party was racist in racist institution in 1861, and they're a racist institution in 2024. Make no mistake. Your Democrat Party. Gosh, there's so much more of the Democrat craziness. He's black. You know, it's not like he was a civil rights leader or anything like that. She just said, not part of the social justice movement. But, you know, slavery. That's why murdering white women, the mother of your children. Blonde hair. Did you see the story also? Just popped yesterday. It's been a secret for 30 years. That Robert Kardashian and another crooked lawyer went to USC to buy off women that O.J. Simpson had raped when he was in college. White women, blonde women, probably because of slavery. That's coming up.
He represented something for the black community in that moment, in that trial, particularly because there were two white people who had been killed.
Amazing, the Democrats, with their considerable cultural power, have mainstreamed anti-Semitism and racism, keeping alive the legacy of the Democrat Party from the bullwhips and the plantations to Jim Crow and the KKK, standing in schoolhouse doors, you know, the Democrat Party and their legacy. Let's take another phone call. They love racism. It's their friend. Let's go to Pat, calling from Northern Neck, Virginia. I love the Northern Neck. Pat, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris. Blessings to you and to your family and to those that make your show so successful.
Thank you very much. It's very kind.
Well, I had called yesterday before I missed your show at, you know, the last of the noontime. But anyway, I called back, and the point being is I met O.J. Simpson back in August of 1971. I was 12 years old, and I'm originally from Niagara Falls, New York. And my uncle was a photographer and for the local newspapers up there in Buffalo and et cetera. So we were up there for a family reunion, and he said, hey, do you all want to go over to Niagara University and watch the Buffalo Bills practice, and you can meet O.J. Simpson? And my brother was with me and his two sons, my cousins and stuff. And I said, you know O.J. Simpson? He said, well, as a matter of fact, I do. And some of the team of Buffalo and Bills. And I said, oh, my gosh, really? No. And I thought, wait a minute, no way. So we went over there, piled in, went over to the university, and there they were, the Buffalo Bills practicing and stuff. So as a 12-year-old kid, you're excited. There you are, the NFL. And
sure.
So as we were standing there, next thing, they finished their practice, and they're walking off, going to the locker room. And here comes number 32. And my uncle yells over to him, O.J., O.J. And he said, oh, my gosh. He said, Ron, how you doing? And so he comes walking over, and I'm just standing there, my brother and, of course, two cousins, and I'm in awe. I mean, there he is, number 32.
Sure.
One of the most incredible running backs. I mean, and I'm saying this from as a 12-year-old kid and what he was to the NFL and to, you know, to the nation. And it's it was exciting. And I just was so beside myself. I'm, you know, like, are you really O.J. Simpson? And I'm just, he said, yes, I am.
Yes, I am. You should have told him, should have given him a heads up early on. Hey, later on, you know, listen, marriage can become complicated. And when you're divorced, you should probably let go. Just a little nugget going forward, O.J.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.